For this morning's public reading of God's Word, may I invite us all to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm going to be reading verses 41 to 48 this morning. Luke, chapter 12, verse 41 to 48. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant may say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maids, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did not commend things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now, this portion that we just read is not divorced at all from what we read last week, where Jesus talks about the good man of the house. If he knew when the thief was coming, he would be aptly prepared, right? Okay? Well, look at verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now, once again, audience relevance has to come into play. Jesus was not speaking to you and I directly on that day, was he? He was speaking to those who heard him specifically and exclusively on that particular day when he uttered those words. And so for me, the application applies to them initially and foremost, for that matter, because in AD 70, Jesus did come. Not physically. His feet did not touch the Mount of Olives, so don't get me wrong. But he came in judgment upon a people and a city and a temple that had lost its way and had apostatized to the point that they told Pontius Pilate, we have no king but Caesar. And they were willing to turn their king over to the Romans in exchange for a known killer and a known robber, Barabbas. By name. That was treason, high treason. And 40 years later, the Lord Jesus did come in an hour when they thought not. And he destroyed everything, raised it to the ground, and burned it with fire, as was prophesied on the Olivet Discourse. Matthew 23, Luke 21, Mark 13. But the key to what we just got done reading, I think, is found in verse 48. What is the overarching concept here that Jesus here is teaching? Okay. He that knew not and did commit such things shall be beaten with few stripes. And here comes, I think, the key for interpretation in this portion that I read. For unto whomsoever much is given, when much privilege is given, when much responsibility is given, when much calling or ministry or work is placed upon you by God in whatever calling he calls you unto, and whatever gifts and abilities and talents that he gives you to work out that calling he has placed upon you. And I'm not talking about this calling standing behind a pulpit or behind a podium teaching a Sunday school class. No, no. All work is sacred. Okay? Everyone's calling is sacred because God ordained work in the garden. Work may be a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word. work is good. God gave work in paradise before the fall, before sin made work a drudgery. Okay? Adam and Eve did have a job in the garden while they were still innocent and before the fall. For unto whomsoever much is given. So when God gives you much understanding, now here comes the rub. When more Bible light is given to you, and the more God the Holy Spirit illuminates and enlightens your understanding of what is found in Scripture, oh, beloved, the accountability and the responsibility has quadrupled big time. What does James say? Those of you that want to be teachers, be very careful, because your judgment's going to be much greater in the end. Okay? It's one thing to be a teacher and one to expound versus one who sits in a pew and just receives the lesson. The one teaching it has the greater burden on his shoulders. Now you have a burden on your shoulders, but the one teaching it got a much bigger weight on his shoulders. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more. And there's no other greater example of this concept than in the military. When you're nothing but a little one-striper, and you mess up, okay, you're going to be called into the first sergeant's office, or you're going to be called into the commander's office, and you're going to stand on the red carpet, and you're going to give an account. Why'd you mess up? What happened? What did you do? What did you say? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you look at the regs? And the little one-striper, in all of his fear and trepidation, will say, I didn't know. No one showed me. No one taught me how to do this or that. But the man or the woman with 8 stripes on their shoulders, when he or she messes up at that point in their life, from a one-striper to maxing out with 8 stripes, and he or she is standing in front of the commander on the red carpet with the trap door under the carpet, the accountability is much greater. Why? You have more time in service, you have more stripes on your sleeves, and therefore you ought to know more. And therefore you should not have done this or said that or whatever. Get the picture? That's what Jesus here is teaching. And then he illustrates that, does he not? When he says, the Lord of that servant, verse 46, will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and Christ did come unawares in AD 70. He gave him ample warning of all the signs to look for. And did he not say in the Olivet Discourse, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end here? They were marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling and trading. There's nothing wrong in buying and selling and trading. When did it become evil to get married and to fall in love? The misinterpretation of that. What was Jesus saying in the days of Noah? Everybody was going about their normal business while the ark was being prepared, and no one took heed to this ship that was slowly and gradually unfolding in front of their eyes until it was too late. That's what Jesus was saying, as it was in the days of Noah. There's no evil in buying and selling and trading. There's no evil in falling in love and being given in marriage, for crying out loud, and having children. There's no evil in that. What is evil is to be so preoccupied in those things that you have no time for God, and you have no time for spiritual matters. You have no time for your own soul. You have no thought for eternity. And will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And then notice, and that servant that knew his Lord's will. The concept of verse 48. Okay, here's someone who knew what the master wanted, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. He's going to beat with many stripes. However, the poor soul that didn't know and did commit things worthy of a beating only gets a few blows versus the one that's being described there in verse 47. Some also see this as God's justice and God's grace and mercy, even in hell, where people, what did Jesus say when he began to criticize and to denounce the cities where all of his mighty miracles were done. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Sidon. What did he say? On the day of judgment, it's going to be more tolerable. It's going to be less tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than you guys. Why? The amount of light. The ones who perished in those four cities in Genesis 19, they had only a small degree of, they had natural revelation, but they didn't have a whole lot of special revelation by way of truth being communicated, as God was communicating it to Abraham at the same time. But those in Jesus' day, my word, they had truth personified in front of them, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile, right? To the Jews first. They were a privileged people. And when their Messiah came, they turned him over to be killed. We have no king but the guy in Rome. That was high treason. And that deserved death. Well, once again, may God choose to bless his word.